Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, you are indeed listening to the Eagle Hour, whether online or on the app. We're glad that you're with us. Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon. Bob Getty out today. He is down in New Orleans seeing one of his favorite entertainers, the one and only Dweezil Zappa. And a lot of you college students will have to Google that.
I actually had to Google it yesterday, so I didn't know who it was.
Okay, Frank Zappa was his... Anyway, so good for Bob and Angel. They get to have some fun down in New Orleans. We're going to talk Southern Miss softball. The men begin the season on the 14th, the baseball team, but the softball team begins actually on the 7th of February, a week before the men. They're already practicing. We're going to be talking with Kinsley Gordon, Neely McManus, and the sports information director for softball, Charlie Luttrell, is here as well, as the ladies are already practicing, getting ready to roll. Later on in the program, the latest on the New Orleans Saints coaching search, Patrick McGee will join us from New Orleans a little bit later on in the program. Dima will have news and notes, including the weekend schedule in men's and women's basketball. The first segment of the show today brought to you, as it always is, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, your one-stop shop. If you need a big group or a small group that you want to have things catered for, they've got a wide variety of meats and all those side dishes. Leave the work to them so that you can enjoy yourself. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a proud supporter of this program and a big supporter of Southern Miss. Well, when the softball team begins play, talk about anywhere, anytime, any place, all that sort of thing. They're going to see teams early in the season like Nebraska, Northwestern out of Illinois from the Big Ten Conference, Kentucky of the SEC, Marshall, and Pitt. Those are just a couple of the teams that they're going to play a little bit early on in a schedule that's really kind of road heavy, you know, particularly early in the year. And again, joining us in studio today, which we're always glad to have the athletes here in person, Kinsley Gordon is a junior from Myrtle, Mississippi, the booming metropolis of Myrtle, Mississippi, a suburb of New Albany. We joke about that, but Kinsley's probably going to be playing some infield this year. Last year, 3 home runs, 22 RBIs. And Kinsley, let's start with you. Either studying elementary ed, want to be a teacher, but you guys are out there rocking and rolling now about practice. How are things going so far? I know it's early, but still.
Yeah, we hit it strong here recently. We started earlier than we normally do, and everybody's looking good. The competition is rising. You can tell we're getting close to season. Everybody's either stepping it up really good, and we're just really competing well right now.
So how many positions do you think, without mentioning names, how many positions do you think the Lady Eagles are probably pretty solid on at this point?
I wouldn't count anybody out right now. Okay. I think everybody is really competing really good right now. Everybody's realizing it's coming close to the season, and so everybody's just showing their best right now, and so I think it's going to be hard for our coaches to fill out that lineup with the 9 best because everybody's just stepping up to their best ability.
You mentioned it's mentioned in the media guide that you're a utility player. You think you'll probably be playing mostly outfield this year, but a utility player, every team's got to have one of those, you know, that has the head smarts to be able to be in different defensive situations and be able to do that. Tell us about your softball history, you know, from a child. I don't imagine there's a lot else to do in Myrtle, Mississippi. Not to make fun of Myrtle, but I'm sure you got started at a young age, yes?
Yes, sir. I actually played 6 sports in high school, so I was really busy. And I was actually a catcher in high school, so I got a different view of the field. But when I came to college and travel ball and everything growing up, I always played infield, middle infield, shortstop, second. And when I got here, I ended up playing second my freshman year, and then I had a little foot injury, and so they found out I was moving a little better in the grass. It was a little easier on my foot, and then I just made the transition to the outfield, and I love it out there. So, but they also can bring me into the infield if something happens or if they just need an extra body out there, I guess.
You're almost in the backyard of Starkville, though. So how'd you wind up at Southern Miss?
It was just a God thing. That's pretty much it. He led me here, and I think that's the reason I'm here.
But, I mean, you didn't just walk in off the street and say, hey, I'm here. Tell me about the recruiting process or how all that went down.
Yeah, I was actually recruited under the old coaches.
Right.
So it was new with the new coaches coming in my freshman year, but I ended up getting seen at a camp and a couple of travel ball tournaments. But it was really stressful, but I guess all recruiting processes are stressful, but I love it here, so I'm thankful that, you know, the Lord provided my way here.
Now, our buddy Dima Mixon just got married. You're going to get married here pretty soon to baseball pitcher Cross Sively.
That's right.
You know, but you've made it very clear, Kinsley, that you are the better athlete.
That's right, and he knows that.
Calling him out on the show. If we get a call in, we'll know who it is. I was going to ask you, you know, so many of our listeners probably aren't as familiar with softball, you know, as far as like when you say you can play outfield, infield, and all these different positions, can you just talk about how it just differs in that way that pretty much any player could play a lot of the positions in softball?
Yeah, I think softball, obviously it's similar to baseball, but I think the game is like a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Obviously our games are shorter, but it's just so fast-paced, and so, like, going from the infield to the outfield, you kind of slow down out there, and you get to see the field in a different perspective. So it was like I moved to center field from second base, and second base isn't really a main position as in taking control. Like, you're not the head, like, catcher or shortstop. And then moving to center field, I had to learn my role of, like, oh, I'm in charge out here. So it was different out there, but I think – in softball, you are allowed to be more flexible just because, like, that's just what you have to do, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's a great answer. And
Kinsley, you got to see the team last year. Now you're seeing, you know, what the deficiencies were last year and what the team will be like this year. You haven't played a game yet, but just on the surface, how do you think this year's team is going to differ from last year's?
We have a little bit more players than we did last year, and I think that has really helped, like, bring out the competitive side, like, every position right now has somebody, like more than one person competing for that. Whereas last year, there wasn't as many at each position. So everybody is really locking in and competing for that one spot when the time comes.
And depth is great to have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially if it's talented depth.
Right.
Now, Neely McManus joins us. She's from Millport, Alabama. She is a sophomore. She was injured last year. And Neely, kind of a unique situation in softball. We were talking about it in our pre-show production meeting that baseball guys, you hear about having Tommy John surgery all the time. Rarely does it happen to a softball player. Tell us what happened and how all that transpired.
Yeah, so 15 games in last year, I was playing shortstop, and my elbow had kind of been bothering me a little bit during the fall, but I just kind of put it on the back burner and just kept going, and it progressively just got worse as the season went on, and I was throwing actually at our Mississippi State tournament preseason last year, and I tore it.
I mean, did something pop? Did you hear it, or do you just, knew something was up?
Right. I was actually hitting, which was different because most of the really? Time I was bothered the most when I was throwing, and when I got to first base, I was like, whew, my arm is like not feeling right, and I couldn't really lift it. It was just kind of dangling to the side of me, and I was like, I know something is not right.
And see, I automatically assumed that you were a pitcher,
right?
Because you think of baseball pitchers having TJ, as they call it, Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, but it would make sense because you said you were not an infielder, so she's doing the throwing motion to first base or whatever. But it's interesting that it happened while you're hitting the ball. I don't think I've ever heard of that. But how has kind of your recovery process been coming into this season?
Well, I stayed here in Hattiesburg over the summer, so that was, you know, I'm a big family girl, so that was kind of hard. But I was able to work with our trainers and figure out what the real issue was going on and just trying to work towards getting back on the field.
But it had not been progressing like you had hoped in your recovery.
Right. So I had something called TOS, and I just got that fixed where my arteries were being cut off. So my healing process wasn't really going as planned. It wasn't getting to extension. I wasn't able to get right back at it like I hoped. But
so now... then did you call your doctor's POS? No, never mind. never mind. But you are hoping to work your way, you know, back into the lineup, and you're studying nutrition.
I am.
So what's the dream job for you?
I'm hoping to become a registered dietitian. So our program here is really good at Southern Miss for the master's in nutrition, and I love my teachers, so it's really just been a blessing to really get to know them and hope that I can finish strong with
them. Now, qualification-wise, academically, you're only a sophomore. Athletically, you're only a sophomore. So you've still got some more time. We're going to continue our discussion with Kinsley Gordon, Neely McManus. In the second segment, you're also going to meet Charlie Luttrell, who's the sports information director for, it is Luttrell, but Charlie's got one of those names that like he says, it sometimes bothers him. It's not that difficult a name, Dima.
Not that difficult, you know, and Charlie's a great guy.
You had your name mispronounced a lot.
Oh, yeah. When I was playing baseball or football, or actually I didn't play much football, but basketball, you know, Dima Mixon, starting lineup.
Bro. Talking Southern Miss softball when the Eagle Hour continues after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Continuing to talk about Southern Miss softball as they open the season on February 7th, just a couple of weeks from now. This segment brought to you by Campus Bookmart. It's in the bright yellow building right across, and it's yellow. They can say Southern Miss is black and gold. That building is yellow. It is a bright yellow. You can't miss it. Right across from the main entrance to the campus, all of your Southern Miss apparel. When you get your diploma, you want to put it in a shadow box. Anything that can have a Southern Miss logo on it, they've got it printed there for you at Campus Bookmart. Open 24 hours a day online at Campus Bookmart with a T, campusbookmart.net. Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon, producer engineer Michael Mergens. A programming note, no show on Monday. We'll be running a best of as America celebrates Martin Luther King Day. That is on Monday, so no live show. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. Charlie Luttrell joins us now, a native of Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. He's the sports information director for softball, among other things. He's a grad student, although just not exactly sure, Charlie, what we're going to do once we get that master's degree, right?
The path is open. I'm leaving every door open.
Why not?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? So tell us the role of and softball is not the only sport that you have to take care of. So tell us,
yes,
you hear people all the time use the term sports information director, but I don't know if people at home necessarily know what an SID actually does.
Yeah, so sports information specialist, so you're working communications, all sides of it, so social media, game day operations as well, statistics, and kind of the people you see running around at the game, you know, handing out stats, coordinating all the media relations. So there's a lot of different facets of the job, but I'm an assistant along with Kate Miles in our department, and of course Jack Duggan, Jack McDonald, Maxwell Greeno, all the people that are doing the work in Southern Miss Communications for all the sports. And I work with softball as well as soccer and women's tennis this year, and we kind of just help around, pitch around as needed.
But it would make sense that if you were doing women's tennis, that you would do men's tennis.
Yeah, Kate and I are a team.
Okay. Now, she handles the volleyball team as well.
Yes, sir.
So how do you keep X from Y? How are you able to keep all that straight?
We're pretty organized. We have a whole system in place, and I worked with volleyball last year, so Kate was actually a former collegiate volleyball player, so there's a lot more knowledge that she has than me in that sport, but we all have a kind of system, you know, familiarity with the sports, and we're always learning. For example, I'm learning with softball all the time. I reported on softball in undergraduate, but really learned a lot last year working with them about the sport and about the team as well.
And as sharp as you are, Charlie, the fact that you gave Dima Mixon a shot at this, what's going on there?
That's my greatest blunder. Dima's a great guy. You know, Dima came in, I think, my junior year. And I was just kind of trying to get his foot in the door. And the next thing you know, he's doing all these things, kind of taking the charge. So we had a great time. And, I mean, it's been great to see how he's progressed.
Yeah. I would say, like, my entire ability just to do all this goes out to Charlie just because he was the one who brought me on and taught me everything. So
in the early days.
In the early days.
What do you remember, though, about that relationship and about things that you learned maybe that you thought you already knew?
Just, I think the biggest thing Charlie taught me was just like, just go do it almost. It was like, there is a wrong way, of course, but like, you're not going to learn unless you just go out. And I think all the nervousness, first time I interviewed a coach or first time I went and covered a game, went away just because I don't ever remember Charlie getting angry or like getting mad. You know, it was always like, you know, you could do it this way next time or something like that. And I think that was, to me, the most encouraging. And that's something that I tried to do when I took his role after he left, to all the people under me. You know, I'm not going to get mad. Just there might be a better way to do it than the way you did it.
And there is something about saying, you know, throwing somebody in the water and say, well, figure it out. Yeah. You either figure it out or you're
going to drown.
Honestly,
one of the best ways to learn, in my opinion, especially in this profession. But yeah, no, I think the best year of my life covering Southern Miss was with Charlie when we did 4th Street sports show. RIP 4th Street.
RIP, huh?
RIP, yeah, that's right. But definitely that was my favorite year we got to cover the team. And that was the year Will Hall took the team to a bowl game, and then the basketball team just went crazy, then baseball, and so it was awesome.
Final question, Charlie. Sure. You're still young enough to where social media has been around, but there was a time when Bob Getty and I covered sports that there was no such thing as social media. So what additional element has that brought to covering sports?
I really am a big proponent of just social media, and for me, I'm trying to understand it. Even, you know, with people our age, there's things that I don't understand. It's constantly changing. And, you know, I'm in marketing and other business classes, and it's just going to be a huge tool, not only when we're talking about the context of athletics and what we have to do in our role, but for student athletes themselves and promoting their image, their brand. And I mean, just getting out there and communicating. People are on their phones, you know, looking at social media, and it's just such an important tool for communication nowadays.
Like, if it was just one, like X or Twitter or Instagram, that's one thing. But I mean, it seems like every day you wake up, there's three or four more platforms that you follow me on this.
Threads, Blue Sky.
Yeah. Well, why can't we just
be real?
just do one, you know. But that's all part of it, right? Hey, I want to talk to Kinsley again, Kinsley Gordon. When you got started after the Christmas break, you can't go 100 miles an hour to start with. So how do you kind of work your way back into going full speed, getting ready for the season?
I think a lot of it was too, when we first came back, we had a couple days of fundamentals, just like getting back together and back with our teammates. But the coaches expect a lot of us when we go home. They don't expect our practicing and our workouts and our training to stop. So they don't take it easy on us, as they shouldn't, because we are to hold ourselves accountable and work. So we kind of transitioned smoothly, and now we're on the ground running.
Coach got into the game kind of late last year because of the hiring process. So I'm wondering now, in her second year, how do the expectations change this season compared to last year, if at all?
I would just say she wants us to compete more. We won, I think, one series last year of our conference where we swept one. We took a lot of one single games out of the series, and so I think she expects us to come out and take more series this year, and I'm expecting us to do the same. So,
and really, there's on paper again and on the surface, there shouldn't be any reason why that's not a reasonable expectation, considering you guys were telling me that a lot of the other Sun Belt teams have lost their star pitcher, big turnover in rosters at Louisiana. They've traditionally been a national powerhouse, not just in the Sun Belt, but this thing, you guys have a shot at this.
Yes, sir. It's kind of like why not us type of thing. The past 2 years we've made it to the Sun Belt tournament, but we don't want to just make it this year. We want to make it there and make a name for ourselves. So why not us?
Yeah, well, I wish you the best of luck. I want to ask Neely, as she's still in the recovery process. Neely, from an emotional standpoint, how have you dealt with this setback? Think you're getting better? Another setback.
Well, it's definitely frustrating for sure. And, you know, there's days when I'm really upset and just wish I could be out there, but I just know that God still allows me to get to be out there and be a part of the team, and so there is still a role for me. I can encourage my teammates. I can help them out as best as I can, help out the coaches with whatever I need to do, just really trying to be present and engaged at practice and games.
I've heard other athletes in other sports say the one thing they took out of their injuries was that while they were sidelined, they learned more about the game, that as a player you didn't really have time to peel back the onion and really get down to the X's and O's and learning and teaching. How much of that are you absorbing now that unfortunately you have this time?
I would say a lot. I've never kept a chart or done anything like that my freshman year and a little bit of my sophomore year, but now I'm getting to look at rapsodos and stuff like that for pitching and seeing spins and just learning what certain pitches look like and the way they move, and so that's going to be very helpful as a hitter as well.
And when you talk about spins, educate us what you mean.
Well, like curve balls, screw balls, ras balls, drop balls, they all spin a different way, and if the spin is not very efficient, then the ball doesn't move as well, and so those are the pitches that you need to attack. But our pitchers are doing good, so their efficiency is really good right now.
Now, when you were hitting, she was hitting 367 before the injury, so you know a little bit about hitting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And hopefully you can get back out there this spring and help out the team. So who are some of the leaders on the team you've seen kind of blossom in the start of the season?
Well, we have 12 seniors this year, that's a lot. And you can really see them stepping up and, you know, taking on that role, leading for different positions as well as just – you know, being a big part of the team. We definitely have, I feel like everybody on our team can lead in different ways. We have encouragers. We have people that will get on people's tails. We got people that lead by example. So I'm really excited to see how everybody just gels and molds together.
It sounds like a good mix, you know, to me. And now one of the teams that you guys are playing is Marshall. And we have breaking news that the Marshall softball team is comprised of players who played last year for Marshall.
Wow. That's a shocker. Does that work in football, too?
I don't think so. Okay. I had to be living in a cave, I guess. Neely McManus from Millport, Alabama. We thank you, Neely. Kinsley Gordon from Myrtle, Mississippi, both members of the Lady Eagle softball team, and the guy that's in charge of making sure that everybody knows about Southern Miss softball, Charlie Luttrell. Thanks, you guys, for all being on the program today. And to the top, we'll see you again soon.
Thank y'all for having us.
All right, when we come back, we're going to go down to New Orleans where the Saints are looking for a head coach. Might it be the guy that was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Well, Patrick McGee has been keeping on top of all of the goings-on in New Orleans, and he will join us from the Times-Picayune when the Eagle Hour continues after this timeout.
Southern Miss to the top.
Segment 3 of this Friday Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Any Southern Miss sporting event that is being televised on ESPN Plus They will have them on the screens at 4th Street. You can't hardly miss 4th Street Bar and Grill, right over the Highway 49 bridge. You look out the windows and you see M.M. Roberts Stadium. Everybody there is a Southern Miss fan. You're always in good company there with Golden Tee televised golf. You've got darts. You've got pool tables. One of the few places in town that has pool tables and drink specials. Trivia on Wednesday night. Lots of things always going on at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Now joining us from New Orleans, from the Times-Picayune, is Patrick McGee, as he does on most Fridays, to bring us up to date on the latest information as the New Orleans Saints look for a potential new head coach. Although, Patrick, as we welcome you, one of the coaches that they've interviewed is a guy that was the coach here the second half of the season.
Right, yeah, Darren Rizzi was expected to interview today in person with the Saints, and that was to be expected that he would get an opportunity to interview. He's also interviewed for the Jets job. Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, somebody he worked for a couple of seasons with the Saints whenever Sean Payton was in town, and went to LSU, and spent a couple of years as the Panthers offensive coordinator, and here recently he's been calling plays in Buffalo and doing a very good job. So it's not Brady's only 35. There's younger head coach. Well, he may be the youngest head coach in the NFL if he gets the job now. I know McVay was that guy for a long time, but it's Aaron Glenn, I think, is the one everybody kind of points to, but Mike McCarthy becoming a free agent makes things a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn, now the defensive coordinator of the Lions, who used to be in New Orleans, but is that getting legs, Patrick, the McCarthy story? How realistic is that, you think?
No, I think he'll get serious consideration. He's also somebody that's been in New Orleans, somebody Mickey Loomis knows. I'm kind of a skeptic as to that. Is, you know, McCarthy a fit? You know, I mean, he's consistently been a winning football coach, but is he the type of guy that you want to come in and really kind of bring a jolt of fresh air for a franchise that really needs a reboot? You know, that's where I'm kind of coming down on things. Aaron Glenn, I think, probably fits. Whenever you kind of go through all the boxes you want to check, I think Glenn fits that a lot. Other than, you know, he's on the defensive side of the ball, and typically in the NFL, whenever you go from a defensive guy, you know, the next guy usually kind of bounces out as an offensive guy with changes coming down. But, you know, that may not happen. You know, we'll see. But, yeah, I think Glenn has kind of been considered the favorite throughout. But, you know, there's other teams that are definitely in the mix for him.
One of the things that the Golden Eagle Nation always argues about within themselves when Southern Miss is looking for new coaches, do you want that person that has Southern Miss ties, or do you want to go from completely outside the organization, so to speak? Sounds like the Saints definitely like those guys who have been there before.
Yeah, I mean, if you look through, you know, what Loomis has done in recent years, you know, he's been with the Saints for so long now, and he's looked to guys that he's familiar with, and you know, that's a big reason with Dennis Allen. Nobody was really critical of the move of Allen. Time, you know, he was such a good defensive coordinator, but there was that skepticism just from the fact that he already had felt it in as a head coach with the Raiders, and it didn't pan out with the Saints. But Loomis, you know, he likes familiarity. At least that seems to be the case. And I think right now, I think anybody that, you know, is known to Mickey Loomis probably has a little bit of a leg up.
Patrick, I have a couple questions. My first one is how realistic do you think all this Deion Sanders to the Cowboys is?
Well, when it comes to Jerry Jones, I don't really discount any possibility. Yeah. He's somebody that enjoys drama and in the spotlight, even at his advanced stage. He has that ego. So, I'm not saying that Deion Sanders would be a bad hire. You know, I'm not going to come down on that side of things. But, we'll see. I think it is, you know, very much a real possibility. Ed Warder is somebody that's pretty well connected. Has been for a long time, and when it comes to the Cowboys, and he sees Deion Sanders as a distinct possibility there. I think Kellen Moore will probably also get consideration. I think there's definitely something to watch out for there.
That would be really interesting. I'm curious your thoughts on the Saints get the 9th pick in the first round, I believe, and a lot of these mock drafts I'm seeing are, you know, edge players or safeties or whatever, and I'm under this impression that they need to go, because they always just seem to pick a random quarterback in the middle of the draft that never pertains to anything. Are you under the same influence as me that's like, maybe they should just go for one of these younger quarterbacks, Jalen Milroe, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, whoever it is in this draft, and just start developing him so they have somebody when Derek Carr eventually, because I don't think he'll be I don't think he's the Saints' answer, as I guess what I'm saying. So I just think maybe using that pick for an edge or a safety just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, I mean, maybe not edge or safety, but I think, you know, I'm not buying really any of the quarterbacks in this draft. Yeah. There's not anybody I would really hitch my wagon to. Mm-hmm. I was kind of, you know, Jalen Munro, I was thinking, or Milroe, thinking maybe he had a shot. But just late in the year, you just saw, you know, maybe he's not the guy's NFL, you know, caliber or whatever. He's a great athlete. Yeah. Could potentially be a good NFL quarterback. I'm just not fully bought in. So, no, I probably would, at number nine especially, I probably wouldn't go for a quarterback. I could see Aaron Glenn or somebody like that going for a running back, honestly.
Yeah.
So I think that's something to consider if they hire someone like an Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, you were talking about not hitching your wagon to a quarterback. In fact, I saw a mock draft this morning that had the number one pick, the quarterback out of the University of Miami. And I got to tell you, I've never heard of this kid.
Cam Ward?
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
I mean, he's good, but he's not the number one pick.
But I think that kind of goes with what Patrick's saying, is that there just aren't, you know, any stud right. quarterbacks like there have been before. You mentioned Mickey Loomis earlier, Patrick. I've heard some people, you know, big Saints fans saying, you know, maybe it's time the organization move on from Mickey Loomis. Maybe his time has come.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious they're going to hang in with Mickey Loomis. I think a lot of people are of that mind that it's time to move on from Mickey Loomis. He's had a pretty good run overall, you know, a Super Bowl championship, but it feels like things have kind of run its course. You know, for a lot of people who've been watching the franchise for a long time, I mean, are you going to really expect Mickey Loomis to be the guy to rebuild this? So, but, you know, Gail Benson ownership is pretty well tied to Mickey Loomis, and it's pretty obvious they're just going to let him continue to drive the car.
You know, Southern Miss former head coach Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. Of course, the Ravens still very much alive in the playoffs. But have you heard anything about where Monken, and I know his name has come up, but not that he is scheduled to interview anywhere. Is this his year, Patrick, to get the head coaching position in the NFL, or maybe one more cycle?
You know, I don't know if it's his year. I think it makes a lot of sense for him to get an opportunity now. And to me, he makes a lot of sense with the Bears. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got experience with that kind of a quarterback. And he would, you know, very much really kind of cater that offense to his needs, you know, what he's good at. So I think Todd Monken would be a perfect fit, really, for the Chicago Bears. But it sounds like the Bears have interviewed up to, like, 20 guys.
Yeah.
Marcus Freeman's name with the Bears as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, I mean, Freeman's obviously done an outstanding job, but, you know, we've seen those kind of hot names in college coaching get that shot. You know, Matt Rhule didn't really fit in that well. So yeah. I think it's a mistake to jump on somebody a little bit, you know, at this early in his career as a head coach at the college level. But no doubt he's a success, and he should get an opportunity at some point. But a lot of these teams are just interviewing so many coaches that it's hard to say which direction they're going to end up going. I think the NFL has made some efforts to really kind of draw this process out, and we're going to be making a lot of hires late, I think, after the Super Bowl, I'm thinking.
Yeah, Matt Campbell at Iowa State, who said he would never leave Iowa State except for Notre Dame, he has reportedly been linked to being interviewed with the Bears, too. So I don't, maybe the NIL situation has changed his mind about the NFL, perhaps, but you know, like Patrick said, a lot of this is going to be, you know, shaken out after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Patrick, I want to shift gears and talk about the Pels just a second. I know the team's having a miserable year. Attendance is down. Is the franchise safe in New Orleans? Are the Pelicans safe there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's really been a tough luck season. And, you know, and they have been really bad much of the season. They haven't really kind of begun to turn the corner in here until like the last couple of weeks. Had some nice victories. They've got some guys that are healthy, but they don't have Zion out there consistently. Brandon Ingram's still out. Now Herb Jones is going to be missing for a while. C.J. McCollum and DeJounte Murray have played really well here of late, so I could see the Pelicans be more competitive. But in terms of the franchise, you know, in danger of being moved or bought, that's not really a possibility at this point. Now, you know, 5 years from now, I don't know. You know, it just depends on what Benson wants to do, Gail Benson wants to do. She wants to move on. But at this point, I think everything's pretty safe.
And wrapping up our conversation about the New Orleans Saints, of the free agents, of the guys that are going to be available, Patrick, who gets re-signed in your view?
That's not something I have kind of top of mind right now. I mean, this team is in such rebuild mode. It's hard to really kind of see them looking on the roster and saying, hey, we got to do this or do that. But, I mean, they've just got to be so outward-looking that it's going to be really rebuilt through the draft and free agency and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of guys, I think, that they part ways with, because obviously it just hasn't been working the last year or two.
I'd kind of like to see Honey Badger come back, though, for one more year.
He's been productive, a good piece of the roster, but there's also times where you think, well, he's starting to age a little, you know.
Yeah, boy, in a world where you're too old at age 35, if only we could get that message to the U.S. Senate.
Yes.
There's a minimum age you have to be a senator, but ironically, not a maximum age. Thanks a lot, Patrick. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune. When we come back, Dima Mixon will get us up to date with down-to-earth information from Southern Miss, news and notes, including the upcoming schedule, in just a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This final segment of the Eagle Hour, sponsored by DBAT. Of course, you've seen the weather forecast. It's supposed to be cold and maybe even snow flurries next week. Don't have to worry about practicing or training for the softball or baseball season when you are indoors in the comfort of DBAT. And it's right off of Interstate 59. It's actually, I'm old enough to remember, it's in the old, I think it was the old Walmart, or maybe right next to it. There was a Gaddy's Pizza in there.
Yeah, I remember
the
pizza place.
Remember that? But DBAT, now you can set the pitching machines for curveballs, changeups, anything that you want. Get ready for the upcoming travel ball season, softball and baseball at DBAT. And don't forget that if you don't get to listen to us live on the show, you can always download the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can just ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Lots of basketball taking place this weekend. Here to bring us up to date, Dima Mixon has all the Southern Miss news and notes.
Yeah, we have some breaking news from the Southern Miss side of things. John Wade III on the basketball teams was finally cleared to play this season, so Southern Miss is going to get a huge break there. But he has actually traveled with the team, and he is on the way to Texas State. So huge news for the Golden Eagle basketball team as they get one of their another depth player. He was a very good player, John Wade, now cleared to play by the NCAA. It was a few month long process, and he's cleared to play for the Golden Eagles as they take the road to Texas State tomorrow. The Texas State Bobcats and Southern Miss will tip off at 4 p.m. out there in San Marcos. Louisiana, who got drubbed last night by Arkansas State, is going to take the road to play ULM. Marshall on the road at Coastal Carolina. Georgia Southern on the road at Old Dominion. Georgia State on the road at Arkansas State. App State on the road at JMU. And Troy on the road at South Alabama. So a big game for the Jaguars and Trojans, and that's the men's standings. Southern Miss, believe it or not, still tied for third in the conference, but they are tied with, I guess, seven other teams tied for third, so a lot to still try to figure out. And South Alabama on top at 5-1 in the conference. The Lady Eagles back in action tomorrow here at Reed Green Coliseum, playing South Alabama, playing at 2 p.m. tip there. can be found on ESPN Plus. The Lady Eagles still trying to figure out and try to figure out themselves, but again, all the off-court things, it's hard to really blame them. Around the league in the Sun Belt for women's basketball, ULM on the road at Arkansas State, James Madison on the road at Coastal Carolina, Georgia State on the road at Georgia Southern, App State on the road at Marshall, Texas State on the road at Old Dominion, and Louisiana on the road at Troy. And we already heard from the softball ladies earlier in the show, and they are hosting a meet and greet at the M Club on Sunday, this Sunday, the January 19th at 2 p.m. For anyone who wants to go and meet the team for softball and baseball around the corner as well. We'll have a lot more baseball coverage next week as we are the paper chain's getting loose.
Yes.
So we also are going to do our final pick of the year. Bob isn't here, but the College Football Playoff National Championship is Monday night. And since we don't have a show Monday, we might as well pick it now. So,
I mean, is anybody going to pick Notre Dame?
I'm not.
Me either.
I don't think they have a chance.
So, I mean, really, that's
So it's the point spread. Are you going to take Ohio State to win by more than eight?
No.
No, so you think Notre Dame covers the point?
Yeah, I do. I think Notre Dame will cover it, but and that Bob's with Dweezil Zappa now hanging out. So
I don't think we're going to pick for him. I have Ohio State covering very, very.
Well, of course, if it was 50 points, you'd have Ohio State.
Not enough. 50.
Okay, Lady Eagles again beaten last night by Louisiana Monroe, so that's a sweep this year by the Warhawks over Lady Eagles, and that's one that the Lady Eagles dropped at home. But yes. South Al is a winnable game.
Well,
these are two teams dwelling toward the bottom of the standings in the Sun Belt. So maybe the Lady Eagles can pick one up.
And well, it'd be nice to talk about a win every once in a while.
It would. And with Wade, you have to wonder now, with Wade joining the men's team, what is that going to do to the chemistry?
Yes.
Because even though he hasn't been, you know, hasn't been eligible, you still
I think he's still been practicing though.
Okay.
Yeah.
But actually, to get in game action, correct, it's just a different set of hands. Different.
Correct. I think that's huge. And again, it builds depth. You know, if hypothetically, and Lord forbid, that Neftali or
Curbelo,
excuse me, go out for any period of time, just getting another person in the backcourt would be big.
And this is a game two of a four-game road trip. Looking ahead in the schedule for the men, two more road games next week. They will go to Troy, and then they will finish up that road trip at Louisiana.
Yeah.
So the Louisiana game, if you're going to get one on the road, based on the current standings, that would be where to go, because Arkansas State went to Lafayette last night and just blew the Cajuns out of the water.
Right.
So, and again, I still think, regardless of what the standings may or may not say, I think Arkansas State is the best team in the league.
Well, that was the idea coming into the season, that they were going to be the best team in the league, and then they obviously dropped a couple of early conference games. But again, and something that Jay Ladner said on the show yesterday, you know, it really all matters in the tournament, and who's going to be the left standing in the tournament. And honestly, it really could be anybody.
And really, you don't even have to finish first. Just finish first or second.
Yeah.
And you're just a game.
But third and fourth isn't that bad either. I mean, you don't have the quadruple bye, but you still have a triple bye.
Right.
So
because it's all about winning that one spot, as right, we have as we've talked about on this program. Again, programming note, no show on Monday because of the national holiday. That is a TeleSouth holiday. So we'll have a best of. And then on Tuesday, we'll have a lot of things to talk about, getting you caught up in basketball over the weekend and where the Eagles go from here. And as Dima just mentioned, one step closer to baseball season.
Yes.
Taking place. Shout out to Genesis of Hattiesburg and Mo Bay Beignet Company, too, for being sponsors of this program, along with Indabay Spring Water. That'll do it. Hope you have a great weekend. Supposed to rain tomorrow, so do be careful. For producer engineer Michael Mergens and Dima Mixon, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks again for joining us. Talk to you on Tuesday. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.